Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, 855-212-4CBS is just the number if you want to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. I'm a little bit distracted a minute into the show, and it's because I see two moths in this studio right now. I just saw one fly by my cabeza and the other one was in the corner. So I don't know if we're going to get under attack here. I heard that there was some rumors. Some sources told me last week that you guys had a moth issue on the other side of the glass. The fact that we've not got an exterminator in there yet, or now they are infiltrating into my part of the studio. Like, when it's just on the hot take hickey side of the studio, that's fine. He needs some friends. He needs some company. But when they start to make their way into this side of the glass, that's when we have a big time problem. So I know management usually likes to listen in the first hour of our show. Guys, let's address this problem, because I feel like I'm outdoors right now and I'm sitting inside what should be a comfy studio. So what a marvelous start to this marvelous Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. We will do our yearly mock draft of the top 10 picks with our 10 insiders from each and every team. That will come your way in the third hour of our extravaganza at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And Ross Tucker will be joining us to talk all things NFL draft at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that hot take, Hickey.
Hickey, right out of the gate before we get to the Aaron Rodgers trade compensation, which is the super duper big story of the day. And it's good to see Denny back. So maybe this issue will actually go away since we have someone actually cleaning up around here. There was a big moth issue last week, Hickey. In your side of the studio, did you notice that from what my inside sources were telling me?
I mean, it's been an issue for months.
Really?
Yeah, the moths have been flying around.
Wow, and that's the first time that I've been hearing about it. It was last week where I will not say the person's name. A good talk show host never reveals their sources. But someone told me that there was a moth issue on your side of the glass. And now when I start the show today, there's moths all around me. So what the heck is going on? This is crazy how the standards have fallen and how the expectations around here have fallen. I expect to come to work and not have to deal with a bunch of moths. It's crazy. You basically have a bunch of pain in the asses already flying around the newsroom to begin with. And I have enough things that I have to deal with. Now I have to deal with a moth and multiple of them just flying around my head, but I'm trying to do a show. So welcome on in. Should be a fun Monday, everybody. Let's start things off with the biggest news of the day. And finally, I guess you could say the waiting is over. We have the compensation via Adam Schefter on the Jets deal to go get Aaron Rodgers and what the Packers get in return. And I actually think this is pretty fair. Clearly, the Jets go get their quarterback, and now we'll see if they go win a Super Bowl or if they go get to a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. But I'll tell you this right out of the gate, I'm impressed by the job of Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers and what they got back for Aaron Rodgers, because I didn't really think either side had that much leverage in this. Now, it's not like this big victory for the Green Bay Packers, because there's still that great unknown on what Jordan Love is going to be, and it's very tough to have back-to-back to them what would maybe be back Hall of Fame and Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That just does not happen in the NFL. But the timing to make this move was right. I don't know if they anticipated ever giving, and I don't think they ever anticipated giving Aaron Rodgers a contract extension, but he did win back-to-back MVPs. However, this team would just get so close but yet so far when they were in an NFC title game, got blown out by the 49ers, then in another NFC title game, and they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Brady and the Bucs are trying to hand them that game at Lambeau Field. And then they were another time a number one seed, and in divisional weekend, they scored an opening drive touchdown, and then after that, they did absolutely nothing. And then this past year, Rodgers got hurt, they regressed, Devontae Adams no longer there, And it just felt like it was time to move on from Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers was not going to win another Super Bowl in Green Bay. It would be different if last year they got to the NFC title game and they lost on like a block punt, or they lost on a missed field goal, or whoever was in the NFC title game, like the Eagles, drive down the field with 45 seconds left, and then you get a game-winning kick by Jake Elliott. Like, that would be different. But we met a point in this relationship where Rodgers didn't want to be there anymore, and Gutekunst didn't want Rodgers there anymore. So if you are fully committed to Jordan Love, the time is right to go there. Now, ideally, when you admit that pretty much, and yet Mark Murphy weeks ago speaking about Aaron Rodgers in the past tense, it makes negotiations difficult, not only from that standpoint, but also wherever Aaron Rodgers wanted to go, that's where Aaron Rodgers is going to wind up. So that even makes the negotiations more difficult and takes away some of your leverage. But if you're a Packers fan today, sure, you have to be upset to some degree, because it is a chapter of Packers history coming to a close. And even though Aaron Rodgers, it's disappointing, he didn't win more than one Super Bowl, he did win one championship, he won countless MVPs, and he is a Hall of Famer. And for some people, that's your quarterback, if you're younger, that you grew up with, or a quarterback that played an imperative role in franchise history. So in one breath, it could be a sad day for a Packers fan, but in another breath, I do think there's some relief, because now you can move on and usher in this Jordan Love era, and you knew this didn't pop up out of nowhere. You knew it was inevitable that Rodgers at one point this offseason was going to get traded to the Jets. And I got to tip my cap to Gutekunst, because you swapped the picks with the Jets. So now the Jets fall back to 15th. The Packers move up to 13th in this NFL draft on Thursday. You get a 2023 second-round pick this year, which is early, at pick number 42. You get a six-round pick, who cares, at number 207. And then here's the big one. It's a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. And when I was talking about this a month ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, I thought there would be a conditional second-round pick, and maybe it would be tied to like 65 or 70% of the snaps, but I thought it was going to be more so if the Jets make the playoffs, it becomes a first-round pick. If the Jets go to a divisional round, it would be a first-round pick. I didn't think it would be that simple of just 65% of the plays. So in a situation where you knew the relationship was coming to an end, if you're a Packers fan today, even though it could be a somber day, you have to be happy with the return, because in all likelihood, you're going to get, barring an Aaron Rodgers injury-plagued season, you're going to get a true first-round pick back for Aaron Rodgers, and you get to move up two slots in this year's NFL draft and pick up a second-round pick, which is early in the second round at pick 42, and you give up your 15, so you move up the two spots, and you give up a 2023 fifth-round pick once again. When you're that late in the draft, if you get someone, it's just luck at that point. If they turn out to be one heck of a player with giving up a pick in that round. So I thought the Packers did as good of a job with the parameters out there as they could. And if you're a Jets fan, just as equally how you got to be impressed with what the Packers did, if you're a Jets fan, I don't think you're that annoyed that in all likelihood you are giving up a first-round pick in 2024 for Aaron Rodgers, because if you give up that first-round pick, that means Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. And if he's playing 65% of the plays, he should be in the postseason. And if you're a Jets fan, you haven't been in the postseason since you made the AFC title game in back-to-back years a long time ago. It is now getting back to the playoffs, and you have a quarterback with a good roster. Not a great roster, but a very good roster. And there will be some players that will even join Aaron Rodgers throughout the year, 2, 3 years, however long he's there. You already saw it with Alan Lazard. Maybe they get DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know. But you have a team that has the reigning Offensive Rookie of the Year in Garrett Wilson and the reigning Defensive Rookie of the Year in Sauce Gardner. You have Quinnen Williams on that defensive line. You have enough pieces to go to the playoffs. And I'm very particular in that wording. If you're a Jets fan, sure, you may be saying it a Super Bowl. And you could maybe talk yourself into believing that you could go to a Super Bowl. I don't think the Jets with Aaron Rodgers are going to be playing as the AFC representative in a Super Bowl. I don't. If he plays a year, 2 years, or 3 years, with the way, not that the team is constructed right now, because I think Joe Douglas has done a good job, but if you look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he had some pretty good teams. I know sometimes we like to say, oh, he could have used another weapon, but he had some good defenses in the last 3 years. He had Devontae Adams for most of the time. He had home field advantage. He's had a number one seed, and he was playing in an easier conference in the NFC compared to the AFC, which is a gauntlet right now with all the quarterbacks out of the wazoo. And there were moments where either the entire team didn't show up or Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. And you look in the big moments, even though how great he was in the regular season, with number one seeds and home field advantage, we saw Brady throw multiple interceptions in the second half of an NFC title game, and Aaron Rodgers couldn't capitalize. Twice, got the ball, down five, three and out, negative yardage. I know everyone likes to kill LaFleur, and I get it. They like to crush LaFleur. It was stupid of him taking that field goal down eight, but they stalled in the red zone and within the 10-yard line once again. So that was a bad look for Aaron Rodgers. And you look at that game up against San Francisco in the divisional round, that offense had life in the first drive of the game. Then after that, they were missing in action. You could have slapped that entire offense on a milk carton because we were looking for them. You could not find them. So now you go to a new place. Who knows when Rodgers shows up to mess with the teammates? You know, for the Jets, you're getting a quarterback that is still a great quarterback, but you're playing in a tough division where right now I would still say the Bills win the division. If Tua could stay healthy, the Dolphins are a threat inside that AFC East. Forget about the Patriots, and that's coming from a Patriot fan. They don't have the pieces to compete with those three teams consistently. Like, Bill always is a phenomenal coach, so he go get 9 wins maybe or something like that. But there's a clear separation in the AFC East, and you look in the entirety of the AFC, once you get out of the way of the AFC East, you still have 15 standing in your way in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. You still have Joe Burrow standing in your way in Cincinnati, and who knows what else is going to transpire this year in the AFC as well. Like, is this the year that Herbert and the Chargers start to become a threat in the postseason? If Lamar stays with the Ravens, they're always a tough team, and they're going to be a team that should be in the playoffs. So the Jets should be in the playoffs. We know the Jaguars are a very good team as well, and they'll win that AFC South. But outside of Rodgers taking the Jets to the playoffs, I can't sit here and tell you, and this is not me raining on your parade, Jets fans, because Jets fans should be thrilled today. Jets fans, the first time in a while, you feel like you have a shot. Jets fans, this is a move that you had to make, and it's worth it with what you gave up. But if you're in the mindset, which I'm not, of thinking the Jets win a Super Bowl this year or get to Super Bowl this year, you're going to be disappointed. Because right now, just for starters, and there could be more teams, I would slightly lean the Bills over the Jets, just in the AFC East. I can't trust the Dolphins with Tua to stay healthy, so I'd put the Jets in the 2 spot in the AFC East. But I would trust, in just the AFC, the Bills, in no order, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and then also right now the Jaguars over the New York Jets. And then after that, I think that 5th spot is up for grabs, is up for debate, and right now I would give the edge to the Aaron Rodgers-led New York Jets, but the Chargers are right there in that conversation. So this is a deal today, even though you may be upset if you're a Packers fan, that you're saying goodbye to Aaron Rodgers, the timing was right, and I am more than okay with what they got back for him. And if you're a Jets fan, I don't think you care that you swap first-round picks this year and you fall back 2 spots. I don't think you care that, you know, you look at the compensation the Packers got, that next year they get your first-round pick if he plays 65% of the snaps, because if he plays 65% of the snaps, the Jets should be in the playoffs. And standards for Jets fans are usually low because they've been disappointed for so many years. And now you can realistically talk yourself into the Jets having a really good team next year. But for me personally, I'm not telling you can't win a playoff game or two. And I would say you could probably win 1 playoff game, but you have a feeling of hope, and there's an argument to be made that you can win the AFC East. I'm not going to make it right now, but there is a valid argument there But I think if I'm a Jets fan, my realistic expectation for this year is that they're going to be an AFC playoff team, and that's something that the Jets fans haven't been to the postseason in a long time. So all in all, I think this is a good day for both sides. We'll see what the Jets end up doing with it in the next 2 to 3 years and how long Rodgers ends up playing and which level can he bring them to. And for the Packers side, I'm fascinated to see how Jordan Love will play this year. And you got to be patient because it's not all going to come together in year one. And Hickey, I got to tip my cap to Gutekunst because not that there's like a winner or a loser here, because I think both sides made out well. And I'm not usually that way. I usually like to take a side. But I was impressed that Gutekunst basically is going to get back, barring injury, a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers next year, assuming he just plays 65% of the snaps. Your thoughts on the deal?
Yeah, I mean, from a trade competition perspective, if you're the Packers, I think you feel very happy about this deal. You get a first-round pick, presumably, barring injury, next year. You get a second-round pick this year. That's a very high pick as well in the 40s. I mean, you move up two spots in the first round, you know, going from 15 to 13 is not exactly going to change your draft board drastically. But again, if there's a good player there, guys are falling, all of a sudden now you're in a good position to get the best player available.
You could get the first wide receiver off the board if the Texans don't take one at 12. And there's a thought maybe the Texans are going to skip on a quarterback at 2, and maybe they end up taking a QB at 12 or move up in that first round. You may get, and it would be very Packers-like here, for years, you don't help out Rodgers outside of having Davante Adams, and the first moment you can't, I know they drafted Watson in the second round, you go take a wide receiver in the first round. That would be what, if you're a Packers fan, that would be something if they end up drafting Zay Flowers or Jaxon Smith-Njigba, whoever it may be, and it would not shock me whatsoever. I actually expect now the Packers to take a wide receiver at 13.
They should. They put themselves in a very good position with this trade to put talent around Jordan Love and kind of try their best to go from Favre to Rodgers to Love.
And also, you look at the NFC, outside of Philadelphia and the 49ers, there's no teams you feel great about heading into this season. And honestly, I can't even say I feel great about the 49ers, because even though their roster is phenomenal, I don't know who's going to be how that quarterback situation is going to shake on out. You know, there's flaws with the Vikings. There's flaws when you look around that NFC and you look at the Cowboys. I don't trust them at a big spot. Like, you just look at the NFC North. I'm not telling you I expect the Packers to be a good team this year and be like a lock to make the playoffs, but it wouldn't shock me if they end up going 9-8 and end up making the postseason. I think at their worst, they win 7 games this year. At their best, they probably win 9 games this year with the Green Bay Packers, because this is a down NFC, and you look at that division. I know Lions fans today are thrilled. Vikings fans today are thrilled. Bears fans are thrilled as well. But if you're the Packers, a team that's in transition, with this NFC not that dominant and not a lot of stars at the quarterback position really outside of Jalen Hurts in the NFC, it's a good time to make this move and make this change and just see what you have this year. And then a year from now, maybe that's where you could bring the Packers standard back. So that's how I kind of view for it when you look at the future of the Green Bay Packers. I think this, I don't want to call it a wash year. I don't have really big expectations for the Packers this year. And I think it's all gravy this year. But at the end of the year, the way that you view success, if you walk away from this season and just go, okay, we have something positive in the quarterback in Jordan Love.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That has to be the only goal for 2023. It's not wins. It's not playoffs or not. It's believing Jordan Love going forward in 2024 and beyond can truly be a guy that can eventually bring you a championship. And if you get that answer after the season, it's 100% a win. Don't care what the win total is or what happens in the playoffs.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's your reaction to the Jets and Packers news? I know it's not official yet, but you have the compensation from Adam Schefter, so it's basically as official as it could be without officially being done. We'll take a timeout. We come on back. A lot of rumors surrounding the second overall pick. What do we make out of it, and what will the Texans do coming up on Thursday? We'll discuss that when the Zach Gelb Show returns in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Things are getting weird. Well, first off, Aaron Rodgers is expected to wear number 8. Remember Joe Namath, legendary Jets quarterback, wore number 12. Number is retired. Now, Joe Namath, with Tiki and Tierney, who used to host here for years and years and years on CBS Sports Radio, now they're down the hall at WFAN, The legendary Jets quarterback said he would allow Aaron Rodgers to wear number 12. Rodgers going back to his college number per reports of 8 back when he was a Golden Bear at Cal. So that's going to be an adjustment. That's going to be weird seeing Rodgers in a number that isn't 12, but also in New York Jet green. And the other thing that is really bizarre here is what the heck is happening with the second overall pick. Eventually we could kill the music here on the rejoin as it keeps on going and going and going. That's a little bit weird as well. But for the second overall pick in this NFL draft, Hickey, this is just crazy. And I don't get what is going on and how I read into what's happening at number 2. About 3 weeks ago, you were like one of the first people to bring this up in conversation. We were like, all right, there's a chance that the Texans pass on a quarterback at 2. And it was not very popular, just you being the cult sycophant that you are, and you trying to get the best quarterback position as possible. There was some conversation and some chatter out there with the Indianapolis Colts maybe getting a better quarterback than expected, because there are some people that believe now that the Texans are going to pass up on a quarterback at 2. And that noise is growing louder and louder, where even though I kind of been under the assumption, I'll believe it when I see it, when the Texans pass on a quarterback at 2, at this point, with how many people are talking now about the Texans not taking a quarterback at 2, I would actually be surprised on Thursday if we're sitting there doing the NFL draft show, somewhat surprised, if we find out the Texans end up taking a quarterback at 2. Whether they make a trade and someone then moves up to 2 to take a quarterback, that's a different story. And maybe that's what you need to read into with now the favorite to be the second overall pick in the draft is Will Levis. And like, Hickey, I don't know about you. First of all, I don't believe that Will Levis is going to be the second overall pick in the draft. But if the Texans end up taking a player that isn't a quarterback, okay, that's one thing. But if they trade a pick with Bryce Young off the board at 1 and some team moves up to 2 to select Will Levis, like, I guess that's in play with now Will Levis being the odds-on favorite to be the number overall 2 pick in the draft. That would stun me. Because say what you want about C.J. Stroud, and I think C.J. Stroud's going to be a good quarterback in this league. Not a great quarterback, but a good quarterback. I don't get how you justify taking Will Levis over C.J. Stroud and also, like, Will Levis over Anthony Richardson. If both of these guys are viewed kind of as projects from what a lot of the draft quote-unquote experts are telling you, Anthony Richardson has a higher upside, or the term I hate, a higher ceiling than Will Levis. So, like, I don't get what to make of this latest chatter, Hickey, and maybe you could help me out and you could figure out a way to cross the T's and dot the I's here on now why the second overall pick, the betting favorite at minus 140, which is a pretty large number, is Will Levis. This one doesn't make sense to me. I just think this is NFL draft jackassery, if we're being honest.
They are. It's very rare. It's extremely rare that I think Vegas is totally off and they just missed the boat. I think this is one of those situations where they just are missing the boat completely, because the only team you hear that is, we'll say, I'm going to put in air quotes, connected or interested in Will Levis is the Colts, right? You really don't hear Will Levis and any other team's name that they like a lot. And if that's the case, if the Colts are the only team right now interested in Will Levis, the Texans and the Colts are not trading with each other. That's a 0% chance of happening. Even if you hate Will Levis, which most people do, Nick Caserio is not going to answer a call from Chris Ballard, who at that point have so much conviction in Will Levis, he's the guy, and
they could
trade down to allow all of a sudden the Colts to go get their guy. And if Will Levis, I don't think it's going to happen, if he turns out to be the guy, Nick Caserio is going to get fired for allowing the Colts to get him.
Okay, but let me just ask you this. But on the other end, if you really don't believe in Will Levis, and if you think the Colts are the biggest idiots in the world, and you know that Indianapolis wants him, okay, I take that risk, even though you have to see him twice a year. I don't believe in Will Levis. I trust my stuff. You guys are in division. If you want him, whatever this team will do, whatever that team will do, the price is double for you. And I'd be okay with that if I'm the Houston Texans, because Will Levis at 2? I don't think there would be a greater reaction that we've seen, where just everyone's like, what the heck, since probably two things. The Giants at the time taking Daniel Jones at 6, everyone thought was way too early. And I know he just got an extension, but I still don't know if it's even worth it. Jones played well this year, but they have to get more pieces around him. But I can't tell you right now that Daniel Jones is worth the 6th overall pick. And also with Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears, or Trubisky as I now call him, but at the time he was Trubisky, with the Bears having move up from 3-2 to fall back with the Niners. Those are the last two times I remember everyone's like, what the heck is going on in this NFL draft? If I'm Nick Caserio and the Colts really want Will Levis that bad and they want to move up to two, I get it. It's in division. I get it why people would be apprehensive of it, but I would welcome that and raise the price because I don't think if I'm Nick Caserio that Will Levis is going to be any good. And guess what? If you're wrong, you're going to be out of a job. Okay. But you run that risk by not taking a quarterback at two anyway. So I would be fine with that if the Colts call and they really want Will Levis to move up to two. I think that's you more so hoping that the Colts don't end up doing it because it would be a dumb, and I mean a really dumb decision by Indianapolis.
I just don't think there's any chance that those two teams would trade in general, let alone the Colts trading up. They've said too many times that they like too many quarterbacks. They don't have any conviction on one guy.
You're saying the Colts?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right in that. I don't know if they really do have a ton of conviction in everyone because it seems like one day they like C.J. Stroud, one day they like Will Levis. I know people are trying to put the Shane Steichen dominoes together and connect the dots with what he did with Jalen Hurts. Maybe you could do that with Anthony Richardson. But yeah, if on the Colts, if you really love someone, go move up to two. And we truly don't know what teams actually love, but if you love someone, go move up to two if you don't think you're going to get there. I just think that the Colts, who are going to take a quarterback, may end up now having their choice of the second quarterback at four because it looks like the Texans are about to pass up on a quarterback. And then the only other team in front of them would be the Cardinals, and the Cardinals could trade the pick. They could. Maybe they trade the pick, and then you have another quarterback go in front. But for a while, I was convinced we were going to see four quarterbacks go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Young one, Stroud two. Someone would trade to the Cardinals for three, and the Colts take a quarterback at four. It's looking more and more likely that there's going to be two quarterbacks go in the top four. And Hickey, you should hope that's the case because then if your team is smart and they don't just go with Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, then they get C.J. Stroud, who on paper is the second best quarterback in this draft.
And to go back to your initial question, I still think Vegas is just totally missing the boat here. Just way off in the
sense
that it's
a risky game to doubt Vegas.
Will Levis is going to go number two overall. Some lines make no sense, and I get it. Sometimes it's too good to be true.
This one doesn't make sense.
This is one where I think it doesn't make any sense, and I don't think we'll be sitting here in 3 days from now saying, wow, Vegas is right.
If Vegas is right and Will Levis ends up going two, and right now the odds are up to minus 145, it's not the Texans taking him at two. It's someone in crazy fashion trades up to two and goes and makes the pick for Will Levis. And then my jaw will hit the floor on draft night because I would be in just stunned disbelief. Take one before the break, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. By the way, the poll question today, the Jets in 2023 with Aaron Rodgers will be in the Super Bowl, win the AFC East, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. Early return, 6.5% say be in the Super Bowl, 11.3% win the AFC East, 30.6% miss the playoffs, and 51.6% say be a wild card team. And that is my answer as well right now. Be a wild card team for the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets. Let's go to Mark in Milwaukee. He wants to chime in on the Packers' unofficial trade of Aaron Rodgers, but it's moving closer and closer to being official. Mark, what do you got?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I would agree with you. I think the Jets are a wild card team making the playoffs, and I think that's as far as it goes. Here, I have a question for you. You know, back and forth, who got the better of this deal? Well, if Rodgers can get him a Super Bowl, great, the Jets. And we have an unknown in Jordan Love. But I really feel that the moving up two slots, 15 to 13, in this draft is important. I'll mention a couple names that I would love to see on the Packers, Lucas Van Ness, maybe Broderick Jones or Parrish Johnson, offensive tackles. I think there are enough good
Skaronski,
tight ends.
Yeah.
That they can wait till the second round. But the one guy that I would like to see him take, and they might have to move up, and I think if they had to move up and maybe throw in a second round pick to get him, would be Jackson Smith Najigba, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, because that's not their MO to draft receivers in
Agreed.
The first round. You know, but is he worth that? There's a couple of, there's a wide receiver, Jalen, is it Hyatt?
Hyatt from Tennessee. Yeah, I would not draft Jalen Hyatt, and thanks for the phone call, Mark. I would not draft Jalen Hyatt with the 13th overall pick. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is a really good wide receiver. I'm not comparing him directly to the style of play of Chris Olave, but I loved Chris Olave out of all the wide receivers last year, and it seemed like some people weren't as high as him. He ended up going, you know, as high on their draft boards as I had him. He ended up going still in the top 15 when the Saints move up and make that deal. But I feel like a lot of how Olave showed you so much and then fell a little bit is the same thing that is happening with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I know some people really, then this wide receiving class is not as strong as it's been the last 2-3 years. I know some people like the TCU wide receiver better, Zay Flowers out of BC because of his speed. My favorite receiver in this draft is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and it would be a good move by the Packers. And also, I do feel like it's a little extra middle finger to Aaron Rodgers on his way out, who for years was asking for a complimentary piece to Davante Adams. I know Adams is no longer there, but you just drafted Christian Watson, and you go use that 13th pick at wide receiver. That was my first reaction, that it would be wide receiver at 13. If it's not, I do agree with Mark in Milwaukee that it would end up being an offensive lineman. You go protect Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love with Bakhtiari getting older, or you go get him a weapon at wide receiver.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So we are gearing up to head off to Kansas City for the draft. And we will have three shows in KC for you. Coming up on Wednesday, regular Zach Gelb Show just from our Kansas City affiliate, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll have four top 15, top 20 NFL draft prospects on that show. Then on Thursday, I believe I'll be solo from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. And then all first-round coverage right here on CBS Sports Radio from 8 to the end of the first round. And the cast of characters joining yours truly will be JR from the JR Sports Brief Extravaganza. This is the fourth draft show I've done with JR, so looking forward to that. And Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show will be joining us. And then on Friday will just be JR and yours truly from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. So, Hickey, I've been doing the scouting, and I've also been asking people left and right about recommendations for places to eat. Everyone's telling me the famous Joe's Barbecue place, which is at the gas station we have to go to, but people have warned me that you could wait very long, so people advise getting there the moment it opens, and then it does move rather quickly because that's at like peak time at 11 a.m. Central. So I think on Thursday we should wake up and we should go to Joe's. And I just have one request. And you could tell me no if you want. But I do think I've been getting a lot of recommendations there that you got to go try the pulled pork sandwich from Joe's on Texas toast. That's what DA told me to do. I think we should actually split. You get a sandwich, I get a sandwich. We cut it down the middle. And we split at Joe's to get really like the full treat at the legendary staple place. I'm just asking you a trade. I'm like Joe Douglas. We know we're going to get the goods. It's just, how do we want to do this? You be Gutekunst. Are you cool with splitting one pulled pork jumbo sandwich and then a brisket jumbo sandwich as well? Because you did tell me you like brisket recently. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds pretty good to me, yeah.
And I've been told spicy fries. Now, I know your stomach.
I would do spicy fries. No, my stomach's fine.
I didn't know if your stomach was a little sensitive from last time when you were supposed to go on a trip and you ended up getting food poisoning.
Well, I think I was poisoned, but that's okay.
And do you remember the name of the place that I said we were going to on Friday? Do you have that right in front of you? Because for some reason, I do not. If you don't, that is fine. But I was recommended this place as well. Let me pull up my text here. I will pull up my text, and I'll do this real quickly. Because then that lunch, I think that will be a free-for-all, because that's like a CBS Sports Radio lunch where we're going with, it's Q39 is the other place. We're doing that sit-down lunch on Friday with JR, Maggie, and Perloff, Stu, you, and myself. So that's what we'll end up doing. We'll go to Joe's on Thursday. Friday, we go to Q39. And then we'll figure out what the heck we're going to do for dinner whenever this stuff is going to wrap up. But I think lunch is the play because a lot of these places close while we're working, providing listeners the great content that we will reacting to the NFL draft coverage.
And especially Thursday, it's a later night where it's going to be very late compared to our normal end time. That Eastern 10 o'clock is not exactly ideal if you want to eat dinner afterwards, no matter where you are. So, yes, I like the lunch. Absolutely. Give us the most options.
I ate very healthy last week. A lot of salads. And then today, I did 88 minutes for Patrick Kane on the elliptical, and my lunch was a protein smoothie, and my dinner, I went really healthy for dinner. Grilled chicken breast, I had some asparagus and Brussels sprouts. So I'm trying to keep it easy before just the gluttony that's going to happen on Thursday and Friday. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Big news of the day. It looks like, even though this deal isn't official yet, but it's practically official, the Jets and the Packers, we have the trade compensation from Aaron Rodgers. The Jets, according to Adam Schefter, are going to be getting Aaron Rodgers, pick 15 in this year's draft, and the 2023 fifth-round pick, that's number 170. The Packers are going to be getting the 13 in this year's draft, the 2023 second-round pick, which is 42nd overall, a sixth-round pick, that's number 207, a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. Let's go to Romy in Milwaukee next up on CBS Sports Radio. Romy, what's happening?
Brother, I've been able to chill, but I want to start like this. 2021, Green Bay goes into San Francisco. No Davante Adams, no receivers. Green Bay walks away with the win, all because of one man. Let me talk to Jets fans. You are now in every game, and I don't care what your no-reading butt got to say, whatever you – don't disrespect that man. You, as Jets fans, are now in every game. You can go in.
Well, first off, I'm not a Jet fan. But Romy.
Minus 15.
Romy. We're not going to do this yelling back and forth stuff. I'm asking you, how are we disrespectful to Aaron Rodgers?
Don't knock that man.
When did I knock him?
Don't knock that man.
But when did I knock him? Answer the question.
4 years. Listen, I'm a 414 boy. I got my cheese head on. I'm waiting on Giannis to play.
Good. I love the Bucks. Go Giannis.
Yeah. I'm a 4-1.
But how was I disrespectful to Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know what list you reading from, bro. But you not him. You not him. Don't disrespect him.
You gotta make sense here. I asked you a question, I'll answer the question. When did I disrespect Aaron Rodgers?
How is Green Bay winning from this? You get a future Hall of Famer. Listen, and he may play for 4 years.
Did you think Aaron Rodgers was going to be great when they said goodbye to Brett Favre?
No.
Okay.
Nobody saw that. But I'm going to tell you, the notes you reading.
What notes am I reading? Aaron Rodgers has been a bad postseason quarterback as of late, has he not?
I don't care. He's been consistent.
Yes, in the regular season, he's been consistently awful in the postseason. Thank you for the phone call. You're not answering any of my questions, so we let you go. Ryan in California next up on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, go ahead.
Zach and Hickey, wasabi from Santa Barbara. My daughter and I love asparagus. I got it in the fridge right now. I just picked up some from Trader Joe's. We're going to have it tonight with some lamb pops. But
okay.
I'll weigh in on the Rodgers things, but I got a stat of the day or a statistic on a Monday for you. Did you know that Santa Barbara grows more legal ganja than Humboldt County here in the state of California? I agree on one thing. The Jets will end up this season second below.
What about ayahuasca? Do you have any stats on ayahuasca for Rodgers?
No.
Go ahead.
But I'll tell you what. There's wineries up here that grow half marijuana and half wine. It's crazy.
Wonderful.
And we got stoners everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just smoking up the place.
Yeah.
But let me tell you. I believe the Jets end up second in the AFC East, below Buffalo, but get nowhere near the Super Bowl.
Okay.
but I have a question for Hickey. Was Zach and Zach whack, whack, whack smoking the local ganja the day after 420 that morning before the show, how he did not include my Dubs in the NBA Finals contention?
Ryan, I don't know how many joints you've had. Going into the playoffs, I did say that if I had 5 picks to go to the finals, the Warriors would be one. But then after they were down 2-0, I had no confidence in them whatsoever. Now it's 2-2, and Fox has, a broken finger? So we'll see if he ends up playing in game number 5. Very interesting back-to-back phone calls there, Ryan. Tough screening process, you.
Our listeners are passionate, to say the least, and they are eccentric, which is, I think, two things that you would like to have on sports radio.
Also,
other than dull.
there is a Z-Man sandwich, I'm being told, which I do have familiarity with. I saw it had like an onion ring on it at Joe's, but I was told get the Z-Man brisket sandwich.
What is on the Z-Man? You said onion ring, so it's a brisket sandwich. Do you have any idea what's... Oh, if you don't have it in front of you, so I wasn't sure if you look at the menu.
No, I think there's different like variations of the Z-Man sandwich as well. Just reading the menu. So I'll get it for you.
I kind of want to rent a car just so we can get a little fill-up, too. Kind of make the whole experience, you know, get some gas, get a few sandwiches, you know, just really make the whole thing feel authentic.
Bunch of brisket on it and has an onion ring. That's what we got to get.
You can have the onion. I'm not a big onion ring guy, so I'll let you. You have it. You have it.
Oh, that's fine if we're splitting it. That's
yeah,
fine.
We get the Z-Man, but you get the onion ring. That's all.
You got to try new things.
I've tried onion rings. Okay. Not a fan.
You got to stop. I'm going to get you a bib and a high chair. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.